So when we elect a president, is that God's will being done, our will being done, or a combination of both? And when it comes to Christians and boycotting, is that a technique we should or shouldn't use?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
When I was in Alabama this weekend, a gentleman came up to me and said that when he hears things happening in the news, things that concern him, things that frustrates him, he knows that soon enough I'll be talking about them on the radio. And when he listens, he appreciates that the subjects will be discussed with biblical clarity that gives him hope. And I said, man, that's exactly why we're on the air, to discuss the issues in this world with biblical clarity in such a way that will give you courage and that will give you hope. Michael Brown, delighted, blessed to have the opportunity to be with you. Driving up to the studio in my car today, I was praying, Lord, let this show be worthy of the great audience that we have, the great doors you've opened up for us. Let it be worthy. We're going to learn together. We're going to grow together. We're going to sharpen each other together. And the number to call to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. As always, a lot going on, a lot to talk about around the world, and especially right here in America. And I do have a very special prayer request from the Faroe Islands that I'm going to share with you shortly. But let's start right here. Barack Obama, is he president of the United States by God's sovereign choice? In other words, God ordained and decided that Barack Hussein Obama would be the president of the United States. Or is it not quite so simple? Is he the president of the United States because of the way people voted, and God let us make the choice? Or is it somehow a combination of both of those things, God working through our choice and his choice? On the one hand, in the Old Testament, it says he sets up kings and removes kings. In the New Testament, Satan makes the claim that he puts people in power. Was he lying? Was he saying that because people worship and follow him and therefore they make choices that cause these things to happen? Or could it be that God works through what the devil does and through what people do? Or could God be saying, you choose right, you'll be blessed, you choose wrongly, you'll be cursed? And that's where God's sovereignty gets involved. What do you think? The upcoming elections. If Donald Trump ends up being the president, Bernie Sanders ends up being the president, if Hillary Clinton ends up being the president, Ted Cruz ends up being the president, or someone completely unexpected, which would be even more far-fetched now, can we say that is God's choice? Can we say God chose it, God ordained it, that's why it happened? Or do we feel that in a democratic republic, the way the nation is set up, this is our choice to make, and God will bless the choice we make or be displeased with the choice we make? Or someone is raised up for the purpose of judgment. So in other words, God giving us over to our choices, that could be for divine judgment and his plan. How do we bring together the sovereignty of God with the will of man? How do we bring together God's plan, God's purpose with human choices when it comes to the president of the United States? 866-348-7884. What's your take on this? We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire, where we serve as your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. This is Michael Brown, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. We look right now at what's happening in the political scene, and if you are for any of the four candidates that remain, of course, John Kasich's still in, but let's look at the four primary candidates. If you are strongly for any one of the four, that means you probably have pretty strong feelings about the other three, and you would be quite concerned if one of the other three was elected. Now, perhaps the differences would be more intense between Republicans and Democrats, but there are plenty of people who'd be terribly upset to see Donald Trump as president, terribly upset to see Ted Cruz as president, or Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders. And for sure, the direction of our nation will be greatly affected. For example, if you had Hillary Clinton in power and she selected Supreme Court justices, let's just say that President Obama is not able to select a Supreme Court justice, and the Republicans don't let him do that, so the replacement for Justice Scalia would be in the hands of Hillary Clinton, you can be 100% sure, barring divine intervention, that her choice would be totally different than the choice of Ted Cruz. Probably different from Donald Trump. We don't know for sure. Maybe similar to Bernie Sanders, but totally different than Senator Cruz. What about Second Amendment rights? The right to bear arms? What about other issues that pertain to life and family and other critical decisions that will be made by the court? Let's say the next president is in for 2 terms, 8 years. That president could potentially pick 4 Supreme Court justices. Would we say, well, we failed to get the vote out. We didn't vote the right candidate in and things went in the wrong direction. We didn't pray adequately. Or would we say God's will is going to be done? And the scenario unfolding now, especially on the Republican side and in Bernie Sanders still being in the race, it's quite an unlikely scenario. If a year ago you said the most likely candidate for president on the Republican side is going to be Donald Trump or it's going to be Ted Cruz, people would have said you're crazy. And if you said Bernie Sanders would be doing as well as he is as a socialist, you'd say, you got to be crazy. Well, is it God saying, I'm raising someone up to do something for America far beyond what you understand? Or, look at it like this. Things need to get much worse before the church wakes up, and the key to America's restoration is the church waking up, and the key to fulfilling its God-given destiny is America waking up, all right? is that the case? So perhaps we get the worst possible president in terms of Christian values and freedoms and the things on which our country was founded, but it is because of God's purpose. It's because of God's purpose to raise someone up contrary to what we think is best, because things need to get much worse for the church to wake up. And if we had someone in office that we liked and we felt good about, then we continue to sleep and we continue to put our trust in the government. So do we need something even worse than what we've had for the last 8 years in terms of conservative moral values and religious freedoms and things like that? Could that be the case? So it doesn't matter what efforts we go through and how we vote, God has a plan, and God is going to raise someone up. Now, look, there are many who say God is raising up Donald Trump, and God will use Donald Trump in positive ways for the good of the nation. I had one guest on who said that Donald Trump would be like a divine wrecking ball. Those are someone else's words, but his same sympathies. And then after that, Ted Cruz would be raised up, and he would be the one to set things right. So Donald Trump would be the one to come in and demolish and destroy, and then Ted Cruz would be the one to come in and build up and restore. Could that be the case? Is there any other rational explanation for the success of Donald Trump, or if you say, of course, there are a million rational explanations. This is the Jerry Springer generation in America. It's a vulgar, coarse generation. It's the reality TV star generation. And Donald Trump is just a good businessman, appealing to the fears and anger of many Americans. And he's playing his cards right, and the media's behind him, but he'd get crushed in a general election, so there's no mystery to it. Hey, I'm putting questions out. But as a believer, at the end of the day, as you pray, as you seek God, because my prayer, as someone who endorsed Ted Cruz, my prayer is not God bring Senator Cruz into office. My prayer is God, your will be done for America. Because I ultimately don't know what God is going to do. I know what I can do in my responsibility. I know the judgments I can make and we each have to make as we vote as citizens. But at the end of the day, when whoever is sworn in, as our next president is sworn in, will we be able to say, I feel confident God's will was done because he is sovereign and we prayed for God to have his way? Or would you say, well, because we didn't pray, or because we were led by the flesh, or because we went for the wrong candidate, whoever you think that candidate is, we ended up with our choice and will suffer the consequences of it. That's just the way it works in a democratic republic. What do you think? It's a theological question. It's a political question. It's a social question. And it ultimately affects our attitude. It ultimately affects our mindset, our viewpoint. Because right now, if we say, well, the only reason that we have Barack Obama as president is because not enough evangelical Christians voted in the last election, let's say that's your position. Well, what does that mean? So we didn't get God's will? Or how do these things work? Just putting these questions out. 866-348-7884. Let's go to the phones, beginning with Lee in Silver Springs, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for taking my call. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, thank you. How about you?
Great. I'm doing great, thank you. I'll say this first. You know, when those individuals say that, you know, perhaps Donald Trump would be the wrecking ball and Ted Cruz would come and clean things up, kind of similar to those who were here when Jesus was here, who thought he was going to be the Messiah or the king on earth. That's not why he came here. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that thinking sort of thinking is God's thinking in that this earth is going to pass away. And so for things to come to pass as he has planned, certain things have to take place. My thinking is, as Scripture says, I forget where it is, the powers that be are ordained of God. The reason President Barack Obama is because God ordained it. It may have been his permissive will, it may have been his divine will, however it's his will, and his purpose will be worked out regardless of who's in there. So the point of it is, yes, we should still participate in the political process, and that could be how God has his will done through us as well as those who vote. So whoever gets in there, it will be God, whether it's divine, permissive, or it will be his will, and regardless to who's in there, his plan and actions still will be carried out. So that's my comment.
Got it. Hey, Lee, thank you for the thoughts. I appreciate it. Romans 13 is what you're speaking of. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. Now, of course, this raises the interesting question, doesn't it, that what if the authority is doing evil? What if the authority is someone like Adolf Hitler? What if Hitler says, you must tell us of any Jews you know hiding in your neighborhood? You say, well, yes, sir, you're the authority, therefore I do it. Say, no, we have an explicit command not to murder, therefore we're not complicit with murder. And because of that, we do not obey, we disobey the authorities as we have a pattern for in Scripture. And whenever the authorities tell us to disobey God, either his explicit word or to disobey based on conscience, our only right response is, sorry, we must obey God, rather than man. We must obey God rather than man. However, the point that Lee was making was not about that. It was about who put that person in power, who raised that person up in authority. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Or is the office of the president instituted by God? That's the authority. Then the person who fills that, is that our choice? How does it work? We'll talk this through. I've got some constructive thoughts for you, but I want to get your take. This is a great way we can sharpen one another to think and to pray and to act. A few very important announcements when we come back. Stay tuned.
Join Dr. Michael Brown along with Messianic Jewish pastor Scott Volk for a unique behind-the-scenes tour of Israel, February 25th through March 6, 2017. Space is limited, so we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip and to secure your spot, please visit our website at AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel Tour banner or call our office at 704-782-3760.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire. I put this question up on Twitter. Barack Obama is president of the United States primarily, notice that word primarily, by God's choice, our choice, or a combination of both. 29%, it's just first 85 votes, I just did this a few minutes ago. 29% say God's choice, 24% our choice, 47% combination of both. 866-348-7884. Okay, a few important announcements. You just heard about our second ever Israel tour. I'm going to talk to you more about that tomorrow, but find out about it now by going to AskDrBrown.org. You'll see right on the homepage, first or second banner that comes up. Click on that. You'll get a lot of information. We've got a special discount for our torchbearers, our monthly supporters. So find out about this. It's going to be an amazing trip, God willing, a little less than 1 year from now. Some of you may remember in January, I was in the Faroe Islands, F-A-R-O-E, where they speak Faroese, still under Danish sovereignty. I was in the Faroe Islands off the coast of Iceland, and I was there to do a debate with parliamentary members who were pushing for a bill that would redefine marriage. In other words, quote, gay marriage in the Faroe Islands. This is a country with a conservative Christian background, but under Danish influence, there's a lot more liberalism and now a strong gay activist component. And I was supposed to debate two parliamentary members about this. They ended up dropping out on short notice. No one else was willing to debate it with me. So I did a lecture, which was very well attended, hundreds of people there, 18 islands, 49,000 people, great turnout on the lecture. The video was then distributed through the island for people, the islands for people to watch. And right now, it is scheduled for a vote tomorrow. It is scheduled for a vote tomorrow. Will the Faroe Islands redefine marriage or not? And there is a strong prayer request from intercessors. Pray that they will say no. In other words, pray for righteousness. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's best. Why would it be God's best? Why would it be God's righteousness to redefine marriage? Obviously, it would not. So they are asking for prayer. So can I ask you, maybe the only time in your life you've ever prayed for the Faroe Islands, can I ask you to pray, God, help the parliamentary members, there are 33 of them, help them to do what is right. We can all agree to pray that. Help them to do what is right in your sight. Help them to do what honors you. Now, when that vote is made, will we say God's will was done whichever way it went, Or will we say if it went the wrong way, God forbid it does, if it went the wrong way, people disobeyed God? We do have choices to make, don't we? If we can disobey on an individual level, if I chose to watch sports all day yesterday when God was calling me to pray, then I disobeyed God. I can't say, well, because I did it, it made it God's will, right? If God was calling me to spend quality time with my grandchildren and get into the Word with them, and instead I said, let's just go see some stupid movie and have popcorn all day, well, I disobeyed God. I can't say, well, we saw the stupid movie and had popcorn because that was the will of God, just because it happened. We make many choices that are contrary to God's revealed will, and we can't say, well, I did it because God made me do it. Certainly can't say the devil made me do it. How much less are you going to say, well, God made me do it. I sinned because God made me do it. Well, is it the same with national elections? Is it the same with national elections? And we are making choices, and God will bless the right choice and judge the wrong choice. 866-348-7884. I'm about to go back to the phones. Just a reminder, check out my latest article, Should We Boycott Target? I plan to talk about that in the second hour of broadcasting today. Also, my latest video, which asks the question, what about tongues? Speaking in tongues, is that for today? What does the Bible say? So you can find that at Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. All right, we go to Columbia, Maryland. Deji, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Dr. Brown, yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you spoke a lot. I spoke a mouthful just now. I was just listening to everything. The Faroe Isles, you just mentioned how, you know, the vote is tomorrow, and I'll make sure I'll do my best to pray as hard as I can. As far as the actions of the officials being placed, like you had just mentioned, if they go against God's will, it is not God's will, but it is God that placed them there. So I do believe we do have to be accountable for our actions. But as far as government, I believe God placed them there officially. If you look at the United States of America and how things have gone with Obama being in office in 8 years, Christians have created something called MediShare. The church is waking up, and I believe gay marriage has been one of the greatest things that have happened to us, because now we have these Christian businesses who are standing up against this vileness, and the church is waking up, and we're helping each other a lot more. The U.S. has an ambassador of homosexuality to the world, and I think more and more Christians are starting to see how vile this is, and we're starting to pray more. And I think Obama is God's choice because of all of this.
Got it. All right. So interestingly, and I very much appreciate the perspective, sir, that although these things are bad, and under President Obama, let's just say abortion activism, homosexual activism, other things like that, these have been negative. These have been in the worst interest of the country, but they are serving God's purposes and waking the church up. And that's the bigger issue. Not having a godly president who will do the right thing while the church sleeps on, but having a president who will make choices that we object to morally, spiritually. But that's what it's going to take to wake the church up. The big question, sir, the big question for all of us is, what's it really going to take to wake up the Church of America? Because my assumption is, as long as we put food on the table, as long as we can have nice services, as long as our kids are doing well, many Christians will sleep right on. And therefore, it's imperative that we don't wait for calamity to wake us up. We don't wait for disaster to wake us up. We wake up because we love the Lord and we want to shine brightly in this world. Thank you, sir, for the call. I am going to continue to discuss this the next 30 minutes. You can join me on your radio stations. You can join me online at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on Listen Live. You can capture every minute later today by going to our archives or by subscribing to my podcast. God's sovereignty and the will of man, always complex, important issues.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. When I endorsed Ted Cruz for president, in my heart, I knew there's no possible way he can make it unless God brings it about. In other words, I knew he was considered too conservative. I knew he was considered too anti-establishment, that in the natural, there was no way he was going to get in. But that's exactly how it was when he ran for senator, that there was no way he was going to make it in. And from what I was told, he didn't do what the Texas Republican establishment told him he needed to do to get in, kind of do it our way or else. He did what he felt was the right thing to do based on principle. And he ended up getting elected by 14 points. Which, who would have expected that? So from the day I endorsed him, my feeling was it can only happen by God's will, that he could make it. Now, some of you might say, yeah, same with Donald Trump, because it's too unlikely he'd get it. That may be your perspective. Or the same with Bernie Sanders. He's too radical. Hey, whatever. I'm not putting Ted Cruz in a certain light. I'm just saying that was my perspective. And on the radio, I do my best to just speak things as I see them, as I'm burdened, as I'm concerned, not to try to help this one or hurt that one. So if I have a particular perspective, say a concern about Donald Trump, I share that not because I endorse Senator Cruz, but because I have a concern about Donald Trump. Same with Hillary Clinton, same with Bernie Sanders. And if Senator Cruz said something I didn't agree with, I'd say, well, I wish he'd said it like this or like that. The point I'm making is that ultimately, I feel that if God wants him to be the president, he will be the president. Yeah, you say, well, of course, if God wants it. No. What I mean is that if it's God's choice for him to be the president now, that God will so arrange things that he becomes the president, I don't see it happening any other way. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not involved. It doesn't mean I don't care. It means ultimately that's my mentality. Now, at the same time, could I just say, okay, if Hillary Clinton was president, it's because God wanted that to happen? I mean, it's interesting how we process things, is it not? That's what we're discussing today. We go to Springfield, Virginia. Edwin, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Oh, yeah, how's it going there, Mr. Brown?
Hey, go for it.
Oh, yeah, you know, at first I was really, like, for Ted Cruz. I was really excited. I'm like, you know, Ted Cruz, I can check off every box, and, you know, he's a Christian. Constitution was everything, but, you know, I've been seeing things in his campaign that just kind of worry me and thinking, you know, am I being duped, you know? I mean, you can't believe everybody was by what they say, you know, but by their actions. So, you know, with the whole thing with Ben Carson, with was it Iowa and the mailers, and now him, you know, joining up with Kasich to get Trump out. I mean, you know, loan from Goldman Sachs, all these things are kind of just worrying me. I mean, is he really who he says he is, you know?
Yeah, well, here's what I tell you. I mean, the Iowa thing was completely ridiculously blown out of proportion. It had nothing to do with Senator Cruz. It had to do with a bad reporting on CNN that was then passed on by one of his people, and then it ended up getting passed on in a misleading way. Really, it goes back to Ben Carson taking a few days off at an odd time. But as soon as Senator Cruz found out about it, he apologized publicly and privately. And the mailer, you know, look, that was campaign manager doing that. It was kind of standard practice. I don't like it. Wish he didn't do it. I even wrote, you know, privately just as an endorser saying that. But, you know, none of that's been repeated. You know, taking a loan. I mean, took a loan, repaid the loan. I've had loans from banks. My current mortgage, my last mortgage was held by a bank that's super pro-gay activists. I mean, they came out with these stances after. It doesn't say anything about me. But what I say with Senator Cruz is, you know, he stood, all the stuff he stands for, he stood for years. And even right now, like on the bathroom transgender issue, he's standing clear. I'd look at his track record, honestly, and base things on that.
The It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, beautiful, far heroes proved.
America, America. America, America, where are we headed? Now, I don't want to get too much into specifics with different candidates back and forth, but Edwin, just one more comment I wanted to make and finish the comment I was making at the break. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. The main thing I want to discuss is, can we say that God's will was done with an election? Can we say, well, God gave us what we deserve? Can we say at the end of the day, the president we have is the president that God wanted us to have? Or is God grieved and said, I never wanted you to have that president, but you made wrong choices. You made sinful choices. Well, that's the discussion we're having today. But to finish the point I was making before the break, Edwin, as far as the values that Ted Cruz stands for, the values for which I endorsed him, he's been 100% steadfast on that and refused to move an inch from any of them. And he's the one that stood up for the vote in North Carolina for HB2, for the Bathroom Privacy Act. And he's the one standing up for religious liberties consistently. And he's the one taking Donald Trump to task for saying transgenders just use the bathroom of their choice, and it doesn't matter what door that opens to heterosexual predators, and that doesn't matter what door it opens to inconvenience and embarrass others. No. Go ahead and do it. So Senator Cruz has stood strong on that. In fact, he came out was yesterday and said that if Donald Trump dresses like Hillary Clinton, it doesn't make him a woman. So he stood fast on those things. And as far as, you know, allegedly stealing delegates, no, he's playing by the rules, but he's got a good ground game. Barack Obama had an excellent strategy for election, brilliant strategy, and used data well to know exactly where to concentrate to get votes and how to use social media and things like that, and a good ground game. So Senator Cruz has a brilliant ground game, much better than Donald Trump's. And, of course, Donald Trump has the power of his personality and his social media and so on. So there's nothing going on that's illicit or illegal or wrong. It's just playing by the rules, and one's doing a better job of it than the other. But the other thing, as far as John Kasich and Ted Cruz working together, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, Marco Rubio said, all right, he's dropping out of Ohio, letting Kasich win Ohio to concentrate his efforts on Florida. Kasich's team didn't do the same in Florida. But there was talk of Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz joining together when they were at their strongest right before Marco Rubio's decline. People said, team up, because together you two are stronger than Donald Trump, who would make a great president, vice president, whichever way it would go. So I don't have the least problem with that. Donald Trump has power to team up with somebody if he wants to. I mean, why not? Do what you want to try to get the right person in and keep the wrong person out, according to your perspective, and then everybody votes accordingly. All right, thank you, sir, for the call. Let's go to, let's see. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Stephen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thanks for taking my call, brother.
You bet. You're welcome.
Hey, just wanted to make a good comment with the whole sovereignty of God and human responsibility. It's definitely a great topic for discussion. When it comes to a president or any type of leader, I'm pretty convinced, I'm not going to be too dogmatic about it, but I'm fairly convinced that, especially studying through the Bible, is from Genesis to Revelation, I found it, somewhere over 80 references talking about God's sovereignty when it comes specifically talking about, you know, appointing kings and rulers and makes this nation rise and makes this nation fall and so on and so forth. And, you know, respect and honor the king and you know, things of that nature. And so from what I gather, from where I stand and how I interpret scripture, is it very well seems that God is completely sovereign when it comes to placing people, rulers, specifically presidents, in authority. But there is an ounce of human freedom, human responsibility, and our human responsibility maybe perhaps sway God's decision, but more so we as authentic followers of Jesus Christ, our job, our task is to actually, in a way in which is in line with Scripture. God's going to do what he wants. He's going to put who he wants in office, but we need to be found trying to put or voting and endorsing someone who actually stands on the Bible, who stands on biblical principles. And I think if the nation, if the United States of America truly was a Christian nation, it's not, but if it were a true, authentic follower of Jesus Christ, gospel-filled nation, then God would have no reason to put someone bad in office or who's going to make bad, ungodly decisions. But since we aren't, then, you know, that definitely, as the conversation was talked about before, then that leads him to put in someone who is going to make ungodly choices to, like you've mentioned, to rattle the church and get them to act. And when it comes to God putting someone in office, he doesn't force them to do anything wrong. He rather just put somebody in office and they have their choice. They have their free will, their human responsibility to either to be a godly leader or an ungodly leader.
Got it. All right, hey, I appreciate the perspective, and you rightly bring up there are lots of layers to this in terms of everything that's happening, what God's doing behind the scenes, how he's interacting with choices that we make, and what he does and doesn't do actively. I appreciate the call, sir. Thank you. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Boston. Jack, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for your show. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate your show. Yes, I was listening to on my way to my appointment, I was listening to your show, and I'm very interested about your question about who is choosing the presidents or any leader, political leader in any country. But let's talk about America. I strongly believe that God is behind the scenes. God is in control, and even though that we also have part of involvement on that, on the election by casting our votes, God is the ultimate. It's going to be the ultimate decision, And in concerning America, in my opinion, I strongly believe that this election is going to be crucial, and my hope is that the next president can be a person who fears God, but also as a Bible scholar, as a Bible student of the Bible, I can see that the Bible prophecy is fulfilling on the dot. This nation is turning away from God. The church is sleeping. The church is not taking a stand like he's supposed to. I think we wait too long to take a stand. And now the church is going to suffer the persecution in order for us to wake up. And because we are sleeping, we slumber, we are not taking care of our ministry as we're supposed to. So God has to bring persecution in order to wake up the church, in order for the church to depend on God completely, because we are sleeping, like as you said.
Mm-hmm.
So God has to raise a leader, and like in the as the early church, that God raised the emperors, and they were persecuting the Christian, but the gospel was growing rapidly. God's power was manifesting like in a different way. So we need that today, and I think we are heading that way in America.
Yeah, Jack, if you think, for example, of Acts 8, after the martyrdom of Stephen and Saul breathing out threats against the believers, there's a terrible persecution, and the believers are scattered from Jerusalem. The apostles stay in Jerusalem. The others are scattered, but then the gospel is advanced through that. On the other hand, you could say, look at persecution in the Middle East, Northern Africa. It's virtually destroying the Christian witness there that's been there for many centuries. It's being destroyed by radical Islam. Persecution is terribly destructive. But for sure, Jack, often it's only things going wrong that wake us up. I appreciate the call. So is it possible that God, by his choice, because of the sleeping state of the church, will raise up an ungodly or a destructive president so that rather than us looking to the White House, we will be forced to wake up. Is it like someone who for decades has not eaten in a healthy way and now gets a serious heart attack? It didn't kill them, but it's debilitating. And they must eat super healthily and then have a regimen of exercise. And if so, they could live a long, healthy life. But without that heart attack, they might have had a fatal heart attack. Is that where we find ourselves today? I've got some practical thoughts. I want to grab a couple more calls. Fred, Kevin, you're next when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. I would say for sure, one thing that we are in agreement with is that much of the church in America is sleeping. That it could be that God raises up or allows us to choose a wrong president for the purpose of waking us up, because the hope of America is a vibrant church. The hope of America is God's principles, God's ways being our ways. The hope of America is not a theocracy where unelected clergy rule over the nation by force. The hope of America is a return to God. So the question is, what can we do now? Do we want to wait for the heart attack, so to say? Do we want to wait for things to get worse? Things are crazy now, and still many Christians are still sleeping. What do we do to wake up? It starts with each of us individually to earnestly go after God. It starts with each of us individually to recognize the seriousness of the hour. It starts with each of us individually making choices to seek God, to turn off the distractions, to get into the Word, to turn with our families and say, we've got to get hold of God and be witnesses and stand for what's right. It starts with us going before the Lord and saying, search me out. Lord, am I sleeping? Am I compromised? Remember, when you're sleeping, you don't know it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Fred, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I think we need an awful lot of prayer and really take a good look at ourselves. But at the same time, we need to be engaging people we know, you know, in workplace, families, friends, churches, everywhere, you know, and sharing and getting involved in this whole thing. You know, I think it's to me, after not just the 8 years of what we've been through with Obama, but even before that, if we can't really wake up and see that we need that change, we're kind of doomed.
Right. In other words, we've had several heart attacks and we're still not eating well.
That's very true.
Yeah. We've had enough reason to wake up to say we need something even worse in terms of conservative values, in terms of moral stance. Yeah. That's a little scary.
What I've done is, I go to First Samuel, a reading about the initiation of King Saul, because that's kind of what it reminds me of, it's the people's desire to want somebody, and they didn't care, and God told them they would regret it, you know.
I think there's a parallel, there's a theological parallel as well, Fred, right? That the God said, fine, I'll do this, and here's the one I'm going to raise up, but I'm giving you over to your choice and to your will, and there'll be consequences.
Right.
Hey, listen, I want to grab a couple more calls, but thank you. I think these are important comments, Fred. Thank you for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Kevin in the Bronx, welcome, sir, to the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown? God bless you for taking my call. You know, you asked a very interesting question. You said, what can we do now? And the only thing, as far as I see, the word of God tells us, once we get to this state where you're dealing with the will of God versus the will of people, the perfect will of God versus his permissive will, all we can do now is repent and turn our hearts back to God. The interesting thing with this, though, is though God may render forgiveness, I think we're under a delusion in thinking that that means God will stay his hand of judgment.
Mm-hmm.
If judgment isn't pronounced on America because of our turning away from God, repenting and coming back to him through his forgiveness and love is fine, but let's not fool ourselves. Judgment is going to come. Once, if we keep turning away from God, God uses the evil. He uses the will of the people, if you will, to simply to get us to recognize the error of our ways and that we need to come back to him. So I like the thought process that you're throwing out there, but I think people are deluded in thinking that because we say we have to change and turn our hearts back to God, we think that means God is not still going to pronounce judgment on the house
right.
of God as the nation, and that is wrong.
Yeah, so let me respond to that. Thank you, Kevin, for weighing in. On the one hand, I could point to Jeremiah 18, whenever God's going to bless a nation, if that nation turns away and sins, instead of blessing, he'll curse. If he's going to curse a nation and that nation turns away from their sin and turns to God, then instead of cursing, he'll bless. We do have that principle. At the same time, we see that God did not forgive what Manasseh did, even though he repented at the end of his life. And although Josiah led the nation repents because so much innocent blood had been shed, even though God personally forgave Manasseh and received the repentance of Josiah, there was so much that had been done that some judgment had to come. So my perspective, Kevin, is this. If we turn to God for mercy, he will have mercy, but there will still be discipline in the mercy because the blood of the unborn is still crying out and the blood of the inner cities is still crying out. And the perversion of many things that God has established in our land are crying out. And those sold into human trafficking and slavery and are exporting of porn around the world and all of the negative, that these things are crying out. So I believe we can still receive mercy. But I believe that there will be discipline in the mercy, or at the least, the consequences of what we've done. God will forgive the lifetime cigarette smoker and may even extend that person's life, but there's no guarantee that after 7 years of cigarette smoking, he's suddenly going to clear up the lungs. Hey, I wish I had more time for calls. I'm out of time. I do want to say this. Number one, pray. Your will be done, God. Your will be done in the elections. Number two, do what you know how to do to turn to God and to turn away from sin and to pursue his righteousness, because we're living in urgent revolutionary times. They're going in the wrong direction now, but by God's grace, they can be turned in the right direction. And number three, get involved. Still time to get informed about who candidates really are and what they really stand for. Get past the political talk, get past the rhetoric, and really look and discern and read and understand and pray and think for yourself, all right? And then get involved accordingly with voting. But friends, my simple way of looking at all of this is that there's human responsibility and there's divine responsibility, and they do work hand in hand. And ultimately, I believe that God's choice for America will reflect the state of the church and the action of the nation. My commentary on Jeremiah, we have a very special resource offer with a signed Jeremiah commentary and exclusive teaching on DVD. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org, to find out more. Very relevant to today's discussion. My bottom line today, what we do know is this: we can pray, we can repent, we can act, we can vote, and then we can worship our sovereign God. So when we elect a president, is that God's will being done, our will being done, or a combination of both? And when it comes to Christians and boycotting, is that a technique we should or shouldn't use?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Last hour, we had a fascinating discussion about president elections, God's sovereignty. You can catch that whole hour on the website, AskDrBrown.org. Just later today, click on Latest Broadcast. Or if you don't subscribe by podcast now, go ahead and do that. You can do that on our website, AskDrBrown.org, and get involved by not missing a minute of the show. Let me welcome all of you to The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, enthusiastic, thrilled, blessed with the privilege and opportunity of speaking to you on radio via computer, cell phone, podcast. One gentleman told me he never misses a broadcast. I am his running companion. So as you are jogging, sir, and or ma'am, whoever is jogging with me right now, hopefully there's a little smile on your face and sprint in your step. Come on, push through. You can do it. That's it. Hey, if you're jogging for 2 hours and listening to me, then you ought to run in the marathon if you're doing that on a regular basis. All right, 866-348-7884. I want to focus on the subject of boycotts. Boycotts. Let me look right now. American Family Association. When I left my office Friday afternoon, the announced boycott was, a couple of days old at that point. A boycott on Target. When I left my office Friday afternoon to fly to Alabama for a weekend of ministry there, by the way, my one-hour flight from Charlotte, North Carolina, to Birmingham, Alabama, was delayed 4 hours. Yeah, could have driven there in that time. when I left my office, it was somewhere over 200,000 signatures already for people saying they were boycotting Target. When I looked at it just now, it's 543,659. This has become somewhat of an internet sensation. A lot of news outlets talking about it. People just said enough is enough. Target's crossed the line. Enough is enough. I'm one of the signers. I also plan to call and explain why, as others have been asked to do. So is this something we should do, though? Should we engage in boycotts? Are we hurting our Christian witness if we do? Or are we getting involved in earthly things and we should be thinking about heavenly things? Or are we being inconsistent because if we're going to boycott companies that are aggressively supporting LGBT activism, well, hang on. Right now, I'm sure the computers I'm using, I've got Microsoft, so PCs. Microsoft has long since been an aggressive pro-LGBT activist company. Switch over to Mac. Well, that's even worse. Let's see. I've got at home a Hewlett-Packard computer. I think they're high on the list of active companies supporting gay activism. Flew on American Airlines the other day. They've long been champions. Often fly overseas on Delta. They've long been champions. But the car you drive, car manufacturer, gay activists, credit cards you use, whether it's Visa, MasterCard, Discover. I mean, most of these companies, American Express, they check off well on gay activist causes. I mean, probably clothes you wear, places you shop. So should we even bother? I mean, you just have to kind of live in a cave behind a rock somewhere if you're going to boycott everybody. Or is that not the purpose of boycotting at all? Is there something else going on here? What do you think? 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Fire we please, stand in the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
To boycott or not to boycott, 866-348-7884. This is a discussion we've had, in years past on The Line of Fire. How do we feel when Bruce Springsteen said he's not going to come to North Carolina because he doesn't like the Bathroom Privacy Act? When Pearl Jam says they're not coming? When Ringo Starr says he's not coming? When Cirque du Soleil say they're not coming? Just read about someone else today, forget who it was, said they're not coming to protest North Carolina values. How do we feel when they do that? Do we say, hey, that's your right, that's your call, and we're going to act accordingly? Or would you say, how dare you? What a wrong thing to do. Well, then what makes their boycott wrong and our boycott right? There's an interesting perspective on the Christian Post by Carmen Fowler-LaBerge, not familiar with her, president of the Presbyterian Lay Committee. And she says, no, we shouldn't boycott. Number one, she said it's true that sexual predators exploit the freedom and trust in our society. Well, that's true. Predatory behavior remains illegal at all times and all places. Target is on notice that there's concern and fear that their policy invites predation. They should be given the opportunity to prove to be a good corporate citizen by announcing specific plans to ensure the safety of all people while in their stores. Tell you what, I'm not for playing games. I'm not for seeing, let's see if they can have a good safety policy in place. And what about all the people for whom it's not an issue of safety, but they're just terribly uncomfortable? My wife, Nancy, said she wouldn't go into a fitting room there knowing that a biological male may come walking in there. Now, listen. You say your average transgender person is not a sexual predator. Of course, how can you make a statement about your average transgender person? How about your average person is not a sexual predator? We agree. Your average person is not a sexual predator. And presumably, a man who wants to use the ladies' room, who's transgender, is not using the ladies' room because he wants to check the ladies out. But I have a question. Is he still attracted to women? Since roughly 98% of men are attracted to women, as opposed to attracted to men, in terms of a primary attraction. And the same with women, primary attraction, 98% or even higher, women are attracted to men rather than to women. Yeah, there might be a lesbian woman that's going into a fitting room because she wants to try to check someone out, look over a door, check somebody out or something like that. Presumably, the vast majority, presumably that's not the case. So how do we know the case with transgender? But either way, why play a game? Well, let's see how Target does. We'll see if predators get it. And then aside from that, what about those who are just uncomfortable? I saw a post from a grandmother earlier. She said, I'm not going in. Going to the bathroom, if a guy's going to walk in there, I'm going to be uncomfortable, even if he identifies as a woman. I've seen videos where people have done tests and women are screaming, get out, what are you doing in here? Get out. I'm transgender, get out. What about that? She says we need to step back and acknowledge what's actually happening on a larger scale and deeper level. The culture has shifted and nonsense has replaced common sense in many sectors. Yeah. Nonsense, like if a man identifies as a woman, he's there for a woman. Dr. Keith Ablow, the psychologist, appears on Fox News. He said, look, what if you are convicted for crimes you committed? You're 30 years old, but you identify as a 14-year-old. You consciously identify as a 14-year-old. Should you not be tried as an adult? And he goes on and on and on with other illustrations. If perception is reality, then anything goes. Then we need to have litter boxes in the bathrooms for the people who identify as cats. Number three, the boycott war is neither persuasive nor effective. States, colleges, professional sports associations, global corporations, performers have all joined the boycott of states whose laws require that in public environments people use the restroom that corresponds with their birth certificate. So maybe boycotting Target is tit for tat turnaround. It's fair play, but what does it accomplish? Well, let me suggest this, and I appreciate the point she's raising, and I'm raising this question on the air here to have a discussion. But think of this with me, all right? Think of this. What if, in good conscience, you simply can't do business with the place? What if that's your big issue? I'm sorry, I can't do business with you because I have a strong difference of opinion. I can't in good conscience give you my business when I know how you're scorning our values. If you haven't read my latest article, which addresses this question, should we boycott or not, please do at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on latest article. Let's think about this a little further. A man goes to Target with his little daughter. He asks her how you'd feel if a man came into the bathroom. Why would he want to? Why would he want to come to the girls' room? Because he thinks he's a girl. She was uncomfortable with that. She felt it was weird. And here's a girl saying, well, I would fight him until you got there, Daddy. It's just a little girl who'd be uncomfortable. Well, they go and speak to Target. And Target says, yes, it is true that a man could use the ladies' room, the ladies' bathroom, dressing room. But what did Target propose on Facebook? Hey, there's a handicap bathroom. So why not use that? That's what they proposed on Facebook. Why not use that? Got a handicap bathroom? You can take advantage of that. So well, hang on. So 99.whatever% of the people who are not transgender, who do not identify as transgender, and for which there is still not a fixed and clear and definite medical or psychological diagnosis to say that we're not dealing with perception versus reality, that everybody then, all the men and women who are uncomfortable with this, so the 99% plus of the population should use the handicap room, and the less than 1% should be able to use the men's ladies' rooms. No, it should be the opposite. Well, that would be discriminatory. That would be discriminatory. Hang on. Aren't you discriminating against everybody else? Aren't you discriminating against that father and his daughter? Why discriminate against the 99%+ to accommodate the less than 1%? And then what if the demands of that less than 1% become more and more unusual or more and more bizarre? At what point do we draw a line? But for me, my question is there a time to boycott when it's right? Is there a time when you simply say, hey, I can't give you my business? Now, look, I order from Amazon all the time. I order books from Amazon almost day and night. They have been extremely good with customer service. Their prices have been very good. Now, I know that Jeff Bezos, the head of Amazon, has given a lot of money, a couple million plus, out of his own pocket, to gay activist causes. I know that Amazon celebrates Gay Pride Month in June. At the same time, Amazon carries my books. A Queer Thing Happened to America, Can You Be Gay and Christian Outlasting the Gay Revolution? Amazon carries all of those books of mine. And Amazon has worked with me when people have conspired to post negative reviews. For example, if I can document that this particular gay activist website on this particular day, you know, someone will send me the link. Dr. Brown, have you seen this? On this particular day, this particular gay activist said, go after Brown's book and post negative reviews and post the most vulgar, you know, comments and things like that. And suddenly you get 10 one-star reviews that just came in and they've got the most obscene links at the end and things like that. They've pulled some of those. They've actually done that. So I'm happy to work with them because I'm still in this world, and I work with them to get my message out. Same with Facebook. We know that Facebook is famously gay activist friendly, and under transgender activist pressure, even came up with 50 different ways to define your gender, including 10 at the same time. And on top of that, when that wasn't enough, fill in the blank, come up with whatever gender you want. But at this point, Facebook has worked with me. Our Facebook community, over 360,000 people at Ask Dr. Brown, ASK Dr. Brown, and they have worked with me up to now. And they have, when things have gotten pulled, posts that people complained about, radical Islamic posts that were complained about, posts having to do with gay activist issues, maybe my account was shut down temporarily because of protests, but they have been fair to reinstate it and to work with me. So because of that, I continue to work with them. Now, we worked with PayPal for years. And, of course, do whatever you want in that respect on PayPal. You can be buying a million of my books on Outlasting the Gay Revolution through PayPal or supporting our ministry through PayPal. They won't stop you. But when PayPal crossed the line and said they were not going to come to North Carolina and open new business here and create 400 new jobs in Charlotte because of the North Carolina Bathroom Privacy Act, to me, that crossed the line. To me, as someone living in North Carolina, that was a direct slap in my face, because of which our ministry has been working hard to replace PayPal. We're just about set to do that on our website. So where does one draw the line? I'm going to take your calls as soon as we come back. Stay right there.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. To boycott or not to boycott? Let me throw out three thoughts, and then I'm going straight to the phones. One is conscience. If I know a certain company has crossed a certain line, if I know that, do I give them my business? That's one question. Second, can the boycott be used to awaken people to an issue, to draw attention to something in the society? I've been addressing things about LGBT activism for years now. People are now waking up. Through the Target boycott, through other things that are happening, they are waking up. So is that a positive purpose? And then lastly, do we send a message? Do we send a message through these boycotts? Or are we hurting things more than helping? Are we hurting our witness? Should that be our greatest concern? What do you think? We go to the phones, starting in Fairfax, Virginia. Claire, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, great. I think that Christians should boycott, and I believe that we need to be strategic about it and all band together to boycott one business at a time, which it seems to have spontaneously happened with the Target store.
Yep. Yeah, we've got to be strategic. Otherwise, you know, we are fighting 10,000 things at the same time. And again,
exactly.
The goal is not we want to put Target out of business. The goal is we awaken people to the issues involved. We awaken people to the madness of our society. We awaken people to larger cultural, moral, social issues. And we send Target a message saying, look, if you want to get so radical on this, and disrespect 99% of your clientele, or whatever the number is, 80% of your clientele, or even half your clientele. If you want to disrespect us so as to not offend a tiny minority of people and their allies, sorry, we can't in good conscience give you our business. And then it also calls us to make righteous choices. Maybe Target was your favorite store and the most convenient and the closest where you could get everything you needed, and the best prices, and you say, okay, I'm going to spend a little more and drive a little further. That's also something healthy in that regard. So Claire, are you married or do you have children?
No, actually, I'm not. I'm single.
Okay, so as a single woman, why does this affect you?
Well, I just feel it would feel very uncomfortable. I would not want to use a bathroom with a transgender. Actually, when I was in the 90s, when I worked at a place where there was a transgender person who did use the bathroom, but they were in a different location, so it didn't affect me that often. But one time I was in the bathroom when he came in, and he actually happened to be really tall, so he could totally see over all of the stalls. And so I was like in a stall with eye contact with a transgender, and that was very uncomfortable, you know, so it's just a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, and look, just realistically, it doesn't mean you hate people. It doesn't mean you're, quote, transphobic, but you are a woman. It's only natural when you see there's a male next to me and can act, you know, tall enough to look over. And you don't, number one, you don't know who that person is. Are they a sexual predator or not? If they weren't allowed in the bathroom because men are not allowed in the women's bathrooms, well, that makes life a lot easier. Then he's not going to get in the first place. Even if he's not a predator, the vast majority of men are still attracted to women. Is it an uncomfortable thing? And look, is it fair? It's a bathroom. It's private. In fact, thanks for sharing your perspective, Claire. I'm totally with you. Listen, I was in Alabama over the weekend, and I was speaking to one fellow who works at a YMCA, and he said it's definitely a strong C, a strong Christian emphasis there. And they, every year, if they're involved in working at the Y, I guess he does volunteer work in the midst of other responsibilities, everyone every year has to go through a test. There's an exam. You have to answer certain questions. You have to be aware of certain public safety issues and laws and things like that. And consistently, because of the presence of children, families, a big, 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 big issue, massive issue is child safety. A massive question is sexual predators. And it always comes up on the questions, he was telling me, that what's the right answer? Where is it most common for children to be abused or taken advantage of? In private areas like bathrooms. Well, then what do you do? What do you do about it? Someone said, well, Jesus didn't say anything about it. Oh, certainly did. In Matthew 18, he said, whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, be better than a millstone hung around his neck, thrown in the depths of the sea. And he said that the angels in heaven who look at the Father, they're always looking at the welfare of these little ones. In other words, someone hurts the little ones, that's something that is reported to the Father immediately by the angels. That's how serious these things are. And again, the question is, do we have compassion on those who struggle? Yes, but we do not turn the world upside down to accommodate the tiny percent struggling. We look to help them in the midst of their struggles rather than celebrate them. Bruce Jenner, Woman of the Year, we have compassion and try to help them. If they say, we don't need your help, we're not handicapped, we don't need your compassion, well, fine, then make your bed and sleep in it. In other words, if you say this is not a disorder, this is not a problem, we're not handicapped, we're perfectly whole in every way, and Bruce Jenner is a woman, just get over it. Well, if my wife is uncomfortable with Bruce Jenner in the bathroom or the locker room, I'm going to support my wife. I'm going to support my wife. That's really simple. And if Bruce Jenner said, I don't need help, I don't need sympathy, I don't have an issue, I don't have a problem, I'll still pray for him. I'll still pray that he'll find wholeness and really come to know the Lord. But I'm still not going to celebrate that. May I ask again, if you've got a blind kid in the school, do you require all children to close their eyes and read with Braille? Or do you say, right, let's do our best to help out this one child who's handicapped? Now, again, if those who identify as trans don't think they're handicapped in any way, well, then don't expect any special treatment then. If you say we don't have a need, a handicap, a disorder of any kind, emotional, psychological, biological, fine. Well, then don't come to us appealing for all kinds of special treatment, right? But if you say, no, we do have a need, I mean, can you imagine what it feels like to not be at home in the body you were born in? Okay, then let's work with you to try to help rather than celebrate it and proclaim a man as Woman of the Year. 866-348-7884, number to call. I want to hear from you. All right, Matt, Tara, when we come back, you are next. I've got some neat news for everyone who lives in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina. Really, for everyone in North Carolina as a whole, I've got some great news. Stay right there.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
America!
What a time. What a time in our nation's history. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. This is Michael Brown. What a privilege to be on the air with you, to address life and death issues together, to talk about the fate and the direction of our country, and to talk today about boycotts, to boycott or not to boycott. That's the topic of my latest article. Now that Target has declared war on gender, should we boycott Target? 866-348-7884. Remember, last year, Target announced that it was doing away with the concept of boys' toys versus girls' toys. Instead, all toy aisles are now gender neutral, since Target didn't want to promote gender stereotyping. As if it's bad to say that most boys prefer G.I. Joe toys to Little Princess toys, or most girls prefer dollhouses to Nerf guns, or girls like pink and boys like blue. Here's what Target said last year. In the toys aisles, we'll also remove reference to gender, including the use of pink, blue, yellow, or green paper on the back walls of our shelves. So Target will offend the vast majority of its customers rather than offend a handful of customers who have a problem with gender distinctions. Okay, then Facebook now says all bathrooms, fitting rooms, gender neutral. If you identify a certain way, you can go in the bathroom or fitting room of your choice. This was Target's official statement. To get more on this, read my article, Should We Boycott Target? AskDrBrown.org, AskDrBrown.org. You can read it there. It's on many websites. And at the moment, the AFA called to boycott Target, less than a week old, has 554,000 signatures. Be sure to call their customer relations number as well. That's 1-800-440-0680, 1-800-440-0680. If you missed that, just go to the American Family Association website, afa.net, and just read the Boycott Target article. But just call and politely explain why you won't be doing business with Target anymore. Target's official website statement, inclusivity is a core belief at Target. It's something we celebrate. We stand for equality and equity and strive to make our guests and team members feel accepted, respected, welcome in our stores and workplaces every day. Translation of that. This is what Target really means. Exclusivity is a core belief at Target. And if you don't accept our radical transgender activism, you will not feel accepted, respected, and welcomed in our stores and workplaces every day. In particular, if you don't want to expose your kids to grown men in the ladies' rooms, or if you're uncomfortable sharing a fitting room with someone of the opposite sex. That's why millions of Americans will soon be saying to Target, we used to love shopping in our stores, but your radical activism and your scorning of our concerns has driven us away. All right. I am going straight to the phones. I mean, immediately straight to the phones when we come back. I've only got a minute now before the break. But if you didn't hear this, you weren't aware, there was a rally in North Carolina today in support of the Bathroom Privacy Act, HB 2. Thousands came to show their support of Governor McCrory and the state legislature for passing the Bathroom Privacy Act. I'm looking at a great, great crowd that showed up to peacefully stand in support. And if you recognize that the greatest need that we have is awakening in the church, if you live in Greater Charlotte, join me this Friday night. I'll be joined by my son-in-law, Ryan Bruss, and the whole purpose of our Friday night service is to encounter God afresh, to experience a reviving in our own hearts and lives. So this will be hosted by Fire Church right near the Charlotte Motor Speedway in Concord. To find out more, just go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on itinerary. But that's four nights from tonight, Friday night, 7 o'clock. No admission charge, of course. We want you there. We want to encounter God together. We'll be right back with your calls.
Change the world.
Join Dr. Michael Brown along with Messianic Jewish pastor Scott Volk for a unique behind-the-scenes tour of Israel, February 25th through March 6, 2017. Space is limited, so we're accepting applications on a first-come, first-served basis. For more information on the trip and to secure your spot, please visit our website at AskDrBrown.org and click on the Israel Tour banner or call our office at 704-782-3760.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. To boycott or not to boycott? Obviously, you can't boycott everybody, but are there some where you say, okay, you crossed the line, we need to send a message? That is the great question we're asking today. 866-34-TRUTH, and we go straight to the phones as promised. Matt in Carmarar, Iowa, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Dr. Brown.
Yes.
I had a comment about the boycotting. I think I love Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as some great boycotters and how they handled the situation that they were in. And, you know, just by not throwing a huge fit, by, you know, they didn't do, you know, something that was wrong, and I just love how they did that. I used to work at Target, used to be a manager at Target, and I was really convicted of how they handled things, and I ended up quitting work in there just because I couldn't handle that.
What specifically did you run into, Matt, that you couldn't handle?
Just when they first started the LGBT or whatever that thing is for, that just kind of bothered me, how they, it's kind of funny. I once wore a skirt to work. They didn't allow shorts in the back room at this particular store, but skirts were allowed. And I wore a skirt, and I was ridiculed and made fun of. And they told me, well, if you don't want to get made fun of, then don't wear a skirt to work. And now it's really funny because now they've changed all this, and I think how ironic that, you know, they ridiculed me, but a few years later they say it's okay for men to go in women's bathrooms and women to go in men's bathrooms.
Well, yeah, that I would say that's the height of irony there, Matt. But look, what do the three young Hebrew men do in Daniel 3? We won't bow down to your idol. You throw us in the fire, we won't bow down to your idol. What does Daniel do in Daniel 6? We're told not to pray. Well, I will pray. You throw me in the lion's den, but I will pray. So how does that translate out to Target? You say, okay, in good conscience, we can't give you our business. You're trashing our values. You're not caring about our concerns. You are catering to a tiny, tiny, tiny minority and their concerns. They're upset, say, with the toy aisle, with gender stereotyping. Let me ask you something. What percentage of the people who shop at Target do you think were upset with here are the boy toys, here are the girl toys? What percentage do you think were upset? 2%? 5%? Think it was even 10%? Even so, there's no way under the sun I could believe that the majority of people shopping at Target were offended that they had, here's boy toys, here's the girl toys. And I could almost guarantee you that the vast majority of boys that went in there gravitated to certain toys, and the vast majority of girls gravitated to certain other toys. No, gender stereotyping. We don't want to offend the trans community and others with these sensitivities, so you turn the world upside down. That makes no sense. 866-34-TRUTH. Charlotte, North Carolina. Nope. Let's go to Linda in Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Thank you for taking my call. I was calling about another angle to the boycott community, I guess you might say, that affects me. I have a daughter with a medical problem, which she's got juvenile diabetes. I have a friend who's a paraplegic. So they're both in bathrooms. My daughter has to, you know, change her insulin pump or her glucose monitor, and she's very exposed doing that at times. My paraplegic friend has to empty a catheter bag every few hours. So people who are already vulnerable in a bathroom are made to be even more vulnerable, you know, by this threat in bathrooms where predators have barriers removed now, and they have extra access to people who are especially vulnerable, like my daughter. And I don't know if we've talked about the handicapped community in the public debate about this, but it's personal to me.
Yeah, Linda, I'm sure that as you listen to general debates on many issues that would touch on, say, your daughter or your friend, that the vast majority of the time we're not really thinking about the handicap, and that we would tend to leave them out of the discussion a lot. And I think what we need to do is say, okay, here's a legitimate issue, a legitimate physical issue with your daughter, and may God give her grace to be an overcomer and even bring healing and physical healing to her life. But she has these particular struggles, the paraplegic. Yeah, I mean, who can imagine those struggles and challenges that your friend has there? But we recognize it as a handicap. And even in that case, we are sensitive to it. So, for example, you have the handicapped spaces should be the closest to a place that people are trying to access, get into a store, get into buildings, church services. You know, you have the handicap. So because there is a handicap, here's someone with a wheelchair, here's someone that's walking with a cane and moves very slowly. So you recognize that, but you don't then say we're making the whole lot handicapped and we have two spaces for healthy people. What Target has said, they said this on their Facebook page. My wife Nancy saw it with her own eyes. When people were upset with the bathroom policy, they said, well, we have a handicapped bathroom. Why don't you use that? So why don't all of the people who are not struggling use that, and the ones who are struggling now take over the other bathrooms? That makes no sense. And then here's the other thing. Does the transgender identified person want to say, I have a handicap? Do they want to say that? I have a handicap. Most don't. They work strenuously to get the word disorder removed from the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of the American Psychiatric Association. So it says gender dysphoria. It no longer says gender identity disorder. So you don't want to be treated like you have any handicaps. So why are you trying to turn the whole world upside down then to accommodate you? And still the question no one can answer. Right now in North Carolina, if a man went into, let's say public, all right, because a private place can do whatever it wants. They go into the YMCA. I go in there with a wig. I identify as a woman. Right now, someone could stop me and say, sir, you can't go in that locker room. No, I identify as a woman. It doesn't matter, sir. You can't go in that locker room. All right. Now, let's say that it was somebody else, a tall guy like me, sexual predator. But he's going to put the wig on. Okay. He's going to put the wig on and he's going to go on there saying he identifies as a woman. Well, he can't get in either. Right. But if the law changes at Target, that guy could get in because you can't distinguish between the two. So are we going to play games with this? Are we going to say, and then how's your daughter going to feel? Sir, are you legitimately trans and you're harmless and you're struggling? You're afraid someone's going to punch you in the face because you're in, you know, what if my father sees you come out? Is he going to punch you in the face? Are you legitimately trans and you're as scared as I am? Or are you a sexual predator? How can I tell the difference? You're going to put that on your daughter? Come on.
Well, exactly. And in my daughter's case and my friend's case, you can't always get into to deliver your insulin or empty. You can't close the stall door necessarily with a wheelchair when you're emptying a catheter bag. And somebody who happens to identify that day as, you know, the opposite gender comes in, and they have access to somebody who cannot get out of a vulnerable situation.
Yeah, and this way, right, so when Target says that's not our concern is we don't want to offend our trans customers and their allies, then what they're doing is spitting in the face of everybody else.
And yes. So I would dare say that the handicapped community is a much larger community than the transgender community, which is less than 0.5% of the population.
Exactly. And if you're dealing with handicap, so it's everyone handicapped that would be wheelchair handicapped. It's mm-hmm. it's handicaps in others that you mentioned, say your daughter with that issue. And then there are others. I don't know what the percentage is of people who are blind or people who have some other physical handicaps. So I'm quite sure it's way, way, way higher than the trans community. And it, once again, in the vast majority of cases, we're not even dealing with something that's clearly definable medically. Look, I can't imagine, I'll say it for the thousandth time, what someone deals with that's tormented and is convinced they're in their own body, and they're going to do something that's culturally very difficult and dress differently and be in these hormones and even have radical surgery. I'm not downplaying the struggle. I'm saying let us help you in the midst of the struggle rather than ask us to celebrate it and turn the world upside down. If you haven't signed the Target boycott yet, go to AFA.net, right on the homepage. What's the current number? Let's see, it was 554,000 a couple minutes ago. It's 557,000. Let your voice be heard.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, so according to reports that I see, several thousand gathered today in a rally. Came from different parts of North Carolina to support Governor McCrory and to support the Bathroom Privacy Act that was passed, HB 2. And according to what I've read, ABC News, about 20 counter protesters were there. So look, this is where the sentiments are. This is common sense. This is not even a religious freedoms issue. This is common sense. And listen, if I, as a consumer, was shopping in a store, my favorite grocery store, right? And I got, you know, organic fruits and vegetables there and everything was fresh. And that store then said, we hate Christians. We despise Christians. We think you are primitive bigots. Well, I'd try to witness to someone there, share the gospel. But otherwise, okay, I'm not going to give you my business. That's a bit of a ridiculous scenario. But you understand what I'm saying. Many years ago, Starbucks responded a certain way when they were actively sponsoring gay activism in Charlotte, North Carolina. And when I reached out to them and said, hey, this is what's taking place there, and the public events are much more vulgar than they've been in recent years. And someone took pictures. I said, look, I hate to even do this, but look at these pictures. This is what happened at the event. And here's pornographic displays in full view of little children. And I couldn't even look through all the pictures. Yuck. Sent them in. And they said, yeah, we sponsor all kinds of diversity. I said, okay, how about this? Would you tell me when you sponsor pro-life rally? Or we don't like the way this conversation is going. Under no circumstances would they sponsor that kind of diversity to stand up for the life of the unborn, or to stand up for marriage and family. So even though I'm not a coffee drinker, I've never been a coffee drinker, I don't go to Starbucks. I'm at airports all the time. And often, you know, I want to get a bottle of water and I'll have a bottle of water. And years past where I'd get brownies and sweets, which I don't eat anymore. But yeah, Starbucks would be a good place to get them. But just as a matter of conscience for me, not trying to hurt them. You know, I'm just one person. In conscience, I don't go there. Now, if someone says, hey, let's go to Starbucks, that's fine. If they take me and they do something, that's their conscience I'm not dealing with. But just personally, that's the case. So same with Target. When you are now going to disrespect Christians on this level and disrespect moms and dads and families, for not even Christians, just common sense, when you're going to show that level of disrespect, well, sorry, I can't give you my business. By the way, going back to the phones in a moment, but my special resource offer this week, our special resource offer this week, is my Jeremiah commentary, which deals with so many critical life and death issues in the history of a nation. And what about God's sovereignty? And what about human will? And what about God's heart? And what about the role of the prophet? I had such an incredible experience writing the commentary. It's over 550 pages. It's packaged together, one volume, over 900 pages, with a commentary on Lamentations and Ezekiel by other top evangelical scholars. And I've got some exclusive teaching, a couple of hours of teaching on a DVD, and I want to sign the commentary for you. So we've got a special value, special package for you. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Check out the resource offer. And also check out my latest article, Should We Boycott Target? and check out my latest video, which asks the question, is speaking in tongues for today? All right, we go to North Carolina, Laurinburg, North Carolina. Linda, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I think that by taking on one company at a time, like Target, that perhaps we can make other businesses see that it is not in their best interest to get in the middle of cultural or spiritual battles, that they should remain neutral.
Yeah, that's all we're saying, is stay neutral.
Yes.
That's all we're saying, stay neutral. Please.
Right, and that's what we need to tell them that we're doing, and just stay out of it. You don't have to go in one way or the other if you want your business to go on as it is.
Exactly. Yeah, and we're strategic, and we send a message. Yes, thank you for the call. Much appreciated. That's what I've urged Christian players in the NFL, for example, to do. To say to the NFL, just stay neutral on the culture wars. Don't use us as pawns of the culture wars to disrespect religious beliefs and conservative values and common sense values. Don't use us as pawns for LGBT activism. Let's just play football. That's what we're saying. We go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Patrick, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. I first want to start off by saying that I am Christian. I've been raised a Southern Baptist my whole life. My grandma, you know, read me the Bible growing up, and I just wanted to maybe help shed some light on the issue. I am a homosexual male, and I do want to maybe help people understand that this isn't just about bathrooms. The law that was passed actually prohibits equal rights to transgender and homosexual couples in the workforce as well by not allowing them the same rights to job security and employment opportunities as heterosexual people.
Could you give me, Patrick, let me just say this. It's towards the end of the show. Time is limited. Mm-hmm. However, I would love to speak with you more later in the week if you're able to call in. I don't want to rush this conversation, okay? Normally, if someone calls back, we tell them you can't call for a few weeks because we want to be fair to other callers. But I'm taking note, and my call screener is taking note of Patrick and Raleigh. I don't think we're going to get finished in this conversation, but I want to have it, all right? So if you're able to call back a little later in the week, then we can, I assure you, I'll give you more time to talk these things through. So first, do you think you'll be able to call in another day this week, maybe Tuesday or Wednesday? Do you think you'll be able to call in to talk?
Yeah, that should be fine. I'm just a little curious as how you have time for everybody else.
Well, number one, I have, but Patrick, the first thing, I have other callers I haven't gotten to yet, okay? We've probably had 10 callers drop out already because they couldn't get through. I've got others behind you. All I do is I take them in the order they call, and I had no idea who you were, but I'm out of time. In other words, I've been taking calls. Now I got your call. The last caller was on for maybe 30 seconds, expressed her view. We went on. So I had no idea who you were. All I see is Patrick, Raleigh, North Carolina, boycotting issue, and I'm out of time. So let's do this. If you have the ability to call tomorrow or Wednesday, when I see your name up, I'm going to do my best to get you on earlier, and we'll have a civil discussion. I want your point of view to be heard, and I want you to hear my response. Fair enough, sir?
Okay, around what time?
Well, let's see. Can you call tomorrow at 2:30? We'll make an appointment.
That'd be fine.
All right, you go for it, and we'll get you on. All right, friends, my bottom line today, it is wake-up time for the church. Time to examine our own hearts and lives and say, Lord, you want to use somebody? Start right here with me. Came to work.